Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, reading verse 14 through 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need." Heavenly Father, please help us. Please somehow reach down into this service and into this earthen vessel. Please stir up the gift that you put in me so long ago. Help me to preach. Help me to teach. Help me to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to rightly divide the Word of God. I ask that you help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One more verse in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." One day I'm going to teach on the book of Hebrews, but I want to use this book, which obviously talks about the temple, the priest, the sacrifices, etc., and shows that Jesus Christ is foreshadowed in the temple, in the tabernacle, that all of the things that happened and took place every day, every week, every holiday, Jewish holiday, these things pointed to Jesus Christ. They symbolized him and foreshadowed him. Again, Paul takes a good bit of time, goes through a lot of effort to show in just a few chapters. Obviously, he didn't cover the entire portion of the temple or the tabernacle, but he shows what I just said, that Jesus is there. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This was after Jesus had risen from the grave and was appearing to Mary and to Peter and the disciples and all of that stuff. And Thomas, "Hey, you know, put your hand in my side," and etc. He was appearing to various disciples, demonstrating that he was risen from the dead. But the two men on the road to Emmaus, it's Luke chapter 24, I believe. They're walking and he appears and draws close to them and begins to talk. And he teaches from the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, etc. He teaches them how that all the things in the Old Testament pointed to himself. I've said many times, if you want to understand the New Testament, you need a foundation in the Old, because Jesus himself, the apostles, etc., they all use the Old Testament to get their doctrine. And as Jesus said, all of it points to himself. But it talks here in Hebrews, we read chapter 4, talking about a high priest, and we'll get to that. But there were priests in the temple, They're priests in various denominations or whatever in the Christian church, and they're honestly mistaken. The sacrifice that the Bible talks about was fulfilled when Jesus hung on the cross. And we don't have any need for any man now to perform any kind of sacrifice for us. We have to look and live. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ and depend upon Him and accept that He's the one that God accepted. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, etc. In Isaiah chapter 53, He's the one. He's the sacrifice that counted. All the lambs and rams and whatever and bulls and goats in the Old Testament and all of that stuff, they all pointed to Him. And to go back, and I understand I'm on dangerous territory, but to go back and continue to make sacrifice, it says, well, Jesus wasn't sufficient. And getting off track, chasing a rabbit, what have you, and making enemies, I suppose, but Jesus is the great high priest. But they offer gifts and sacrifices, it says. And as we go through this study, and it'll be some weeks, I suppose, we'll talk about sacrifices, where they take a lamb or some kind of animal and kill it a certain way and offer it to God. And you say, well, it's terrible. And it was. It was certainly awful and terrible. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. We need to understand that. We need a bloody religion. That turns a lot of folks off, but we need a bloody religion. It's His precious blood that flowed down that cross that purchased forgiveness for our sins. But there were, you can read it in the Old Testament, you can start in Genesis, what have you. There were various patriarchs and what have you that built an altar. And we'll talk about the altar. But they built an altar, God's specified way. They took a clean animal. We'll talk what a clean animal is. And I've listed a few of them. Couldn't take a donkey or a camel or anything. It had to be one that God said was clean and acceptable, and kill it, to sacrifice it, and hold it up to God and say, Lord, based on this animal which is innocent, I ask You to forgive my sins. And they all understood that it was a down payment. If you owed $1 billion and you came up to the window and said, here's a quarter, put that on my account, well, that's about it. There's no way that quarter could cover $1 billion debt. But by faith, believing that one day one would come and cancel that debt and pay it in full and pay the double. And we'll talk about that perhaps. In other words, Jesus Christ, as I said a bit ago, He's the one that God accepted. All these different prescribed sacrifices, they were in faith, looking forward to Christ. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jesus said, again, Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Boy, don't I sound like a broken record. But I wish I'd been there with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus and hear Him teach it Himself. And I pray that I can do a millionth of what Jesus did in trying to teach these things from the Old Testament. We've got a lot of scriptures to cover, but I want to make the point that God had a plan in all of these different sacrifices that the patriarchs made, the temple that He set up. He had a plan. And the plan led up to the sacrifice of His Son. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, God said to Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God chose Mount Moriah to place His temple. Now it's just Him and the boy, servant, what have you, and some mule or something carrying the stuff. They went 3 days, etc. Now all of this is a picture of Jesus Christ. We understand all of that, and perhaps I'll have a chance to teach on that. But he chose Mount Moriah as the place that Isaac was to be sacrificed. And we understand that the voice came and said, stay your hand, look, the ram in the thicket. We understand all of that, but let's read a couple more verses. 2 Samuel, verse 24, verse 16, when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. Threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. 2 Samuel 24, verse 18, and Gad came unto David and said unto him, go rear up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Again, that picture is of Jesus, just as the Passover is a picture of Jesus Christ. There's destruction coming, and I don't have time to go into the details. I'd encourage you to read it. But death is coming. Death comes to every man, and there is a great day of judgment coming, and you need to be forgiven. There needs to be a sacrifice in the threshing floor of Araunah that stops death from coming to you, to your home, to your family, and really to the whole world. Again, trust in Jesus and you'll make it to heaven and not suffer in hell. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, which is what we just said a bit ago, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared the threshing floor of Ornan or Araunah, the Jebusite. Okay, what do these scriptures mean? What does it mean? Again, God intended to build his temple in Jerusalem. Mount Moriah, we know it is the Temple Mount now. We see that Solomon built the temple on that mountain. We see that David bought that little patch of ground and made a sacrifice to stop the death angel. We see that God told Abraham to sacrifice his son on that mountain. Well, you know, that's kind of interesting, that mountain, that mountain, that mountain. Well, yeah, God had a plan. You understand that God had a plan to build his tabernacle. But I'd like to take a walk, as quickly as I could, I suppose, but I'd like to take a walk at the various instances, or versions, or whatever term I'm looking for and can't find, of the temple of God. In Exodus chapters 25 through 40, 25 to the end of that book, we understand that God brought his people out of the land of Egypt. We understand that, taught on it before. But in the last part of that book, he said to Moses, build me a tabernacle, and gave Bezalel and Aholiab the ability, the supernatural ability, to manufacture the different pieces of furniture and whatever. But it was a house of God. Now the temple, as we'll go, we'll see that it was made out of stones and gold in some places and what have you. But they were wandering around in the desert. It's hard to take a building of stones and whatever and wander around. So it was a tent. It really was a tent. But it was a tent made of skins. Nowadays you have canvas or plastic or what have you, or some kind of synthetic material. But back then they had skins, and they took great pains to take a number of animals and skin them and tan the hides and make these different pieces of the tent. And we're going to try and go into detail about that. But it was a tent in the wilderness, and it moved with the congregation of Israel. Remember, there were 3.5 million people that came out of Egypt with their flocks and herds, and the tent moved with the congregation, or more precisely, the Ark of the Covenant moved, and the people followed, and we'll talk about that. But it's a type or a foreshadowing of the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth, and we understand that he's coming again. It's one Jesus, one Christ, one man, one God come in the flesh, but he came the first time and he's coming again. And the Old Testament prophesies of that fact. But the first tabernacle, if you will, it was a type of the first coming of Christ. Leviticus 17, verse 1 through 6, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and speak unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, That whatsoever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from his people. Stern warning. But God says, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And again, we're going to go into all detail. But God is saying you need to bring your sacrifice to the tabernacle of the congregation, the tent in the wilderness, and the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Animal killed, bloody, burn part of it, and it's a sweet savor unto God. We're going to get there. I do understand it. I do believe it, and it is nasty. But it says God approved. You think of that. God approved of animal sacrifice. And again, these animals being sacrificed pointed to Jesus Christ. And certainly God approved of the sacrifice of his son. Solomon's temple. That tent moved around place to place, what have you, for a long time. But David got plans from God, and he said, I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to build the temple of stones and what have you in Jerusalem where God said, but God said, no, you're not. Your son will. We understand that David was a foreshadowing, a picture, a type of Christ. As I go through this, there's so many things I want to stop and explain. Some of them I've taught on before. Some of them I wish I could just stop and teach. But we understand that David, the victor, foreshadowed Christ's first coming when Jesus was victorious over sin. But Solomon, his son, David fought all these battles and this and that. Solomon didn't fight battle number one. The battles had already been won. It's a type of the second coming of Jesus Christ. When he comes again, he's going to sit on his throne, and that's going to be that. He's not going to work. He's not going to suffer. He's not going to ride around on donkeys. He's not going to sleep under trees or whatever they did, and not going to go to the cross again. His work is finished. He said it is finished on the cross. But Solomon is a type of the second coming and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Again, there's a lot of verses here, and if you're bored or whatever, I apologize, but it's important to understand, and let me say that you need to understand what the Bible says. Every little bit you can get helps you in your walk with God, helps you as you pray, helps you as trouble comes or whatever, and you're saying, what do I do? If you know the Word of God, then God can use it, and God can encourage you or help you or tell you what to do or what have you. You need to know the Word of God. And these obscure verses in the Old Testament are important. And as I'm showing you, they point to Jesus Christ. And they lay the foundation, if you will, for our theology and for the salvation that God gives for us. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 through 7. But the place which the Lord thy God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither shalt thou bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds, and of your flocks. And there shall ye eat before the Lord your God. Ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord God hath blessed thee. Let me say again, I've said it a million times maybe, ye should put your trust in God. You should depend upon God, because there's blessings for you. You bring your tithes, we understand that. We don't sacrifice bulls and goats anymore, but we do have free will offerings. We do have, maybe you make a vow to God. I know you should vow and not pay. I understand all of that, but you should dedicate your life to God. And certainly in Mitchin's tithes, again, we're familiar with that. But we should come to God and do these things. We should trust in Him. But it mentions people coming to God in this verse I just read. Remember the Queen of Sheba, she came to see Solomon and was impressed at the things of God. I'm going to talk somewhat about the millennial just a bit, I suppose, but again, this temple, now it's wandered around for 1,000 years or however long it was, but now we have a place that God had in mind. The temple was built there, and there it was going to stay, except. God said, follow me, keep my commandments, what have you. And they said, no, we won't. No, we won't. Book of Judges, all about, no, we won't. Book of Kings and Chronicles tells about, no, we won't. God continues to try to lead his people, rescue his people, overlook the things his people did, and they kept saying, no, we won't. God got tired of that and punished Israel, took them behind the woodshed, had the Babylonians come and beat them in the battles, would have you beat them. They lost. The Babylonians won. Babylon, that's in Iraq, by the way. And God said, and God did, carry them away captive in Babylon. And they stayed for 70 years away from their home, away from the house of God, away from everything. God was tired of them sacrificing and serving other gods. He took them behind the woodshed, and finally, after 70 years, they began to come back. And they were very thankful to come back. And you know, they didn't worship other gods after that.
As my heart began to pray, I thought of my blessed Lord so kind. You know, I ask Him to keep me safe until the break of day. And then I got up with heaven on my mind. So sinful world behind, and then I ask Him to keep me safe until the break of day, and then I got up with heaven on my mind.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.